I love the story because it's for the underdog, for those that are not promoting themselves, those that are just doing what God calls them to do, and they wait upon the Lord for God to promote them and to raise them up into that position that God has called us to be in. Never seeking for the glory, but giving the glory to Him. For He deserves all the glory and the honor for what He's done.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Roel Reese in Diamond Bar, California. We are so glad to have you with us today for the conclusion of our series in the book of Esther. Today, Roel will challenge us to follow wherever God leads us, committing to obedience with humility and hope. We'll take a close look at the positive domino effect of Esther's courageous choice to intercede for her people, while her uncle Mordecai also quietly honored God with selfless integrity. Today's study is from Esther chapters 7 through 10. Here's Roel Reese.
Chapter 8, beginning with verse 1. And on that day, King Ahasuerus gave Queen Esther the house of Haman, the enemy of the Jews. And now, can you believe that? Now the house that belonged to Haman is given to Esther and to Mordecai. And Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told how he was related to her. So now they reveal everything. That's my uncle. That's my niece. And so the king took off his signet ring, which he had taken from Haman, and he gave it to Mordecai. Isn't that beautiful how God works? I mean, here God is just building up, promoting a man that never promoted himself. The Bible says that promotion doesn't come from the east or the west. It comes from the Lord. The Lord raises up one and the Lord takes down the other. If you're in a position in your job where people are kissing up to the boss all the time, hey, just wait on the Lord. You just be faithful to what God's called you to do. Have integrity. And in due time, God will turn the tables. God will turn the tables. Because God is in full control of our lives, just like in the book of Esther. We see that here. And then notice verse 2. And so the king took off his signet, and now he gave it to Mordecai, and Esther appointed Mordecai over the house of Haman. Now he's in charge. Imagine that. But remember, Haman has what? 10 relatives. 10 kids. We'll see that in a moment. And now Esther spoke again to the king, fell down at his feet, and implored him with tears, and counteracted the evil of Haman the Agagite and the scheme which he had advised against the Jews. And the king held out his golden scepter toward Esther. And so Esther got up and stood before the king. Remember, you couldn't speak unless the king pulled out his little staff and said, okay, go ahead and speak. And said, if it pleases the king, and if I have found favor in his sight, and the thing seems right to the king, and I am pleasing in his eyes, let it be written to revoke the letters devised by Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, which he wrote to annihilate the Jews who are in all the king's providence. What is she saying? Can you change the decree? Remember, according to the Medes and the Persians, once it was sealed, it could never be changed. So how do we do it? Let's make another decree. Watch this. For how can I endure to see the evil that will come to my people? Or how can I endure to see the destruction of my countrymen? And the king Ahasuerus said to Queen Esther and Mordecai the Jew, indeed I have given Esther the house of Haman, and they have hanged him on the gallows because he tried to lay his hand on the Jews. You yourselves write now a decree. See, write a new decree and we'll vote it through Congress and we'll set that up and that will reverse the other one. Notice that. Smart Jews. God's behind it. And as you please, in the king's name, then seal it with the king's signet ring, for whatever is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's signet ring, no one can revoke. And so the king's scribes were called at that time in the third month, which is the month of Sivan. In the 23rd day, it was written, according to all that Mordecai commanded to the Jews, the satraps, the governors, the princes of the province from India all the way to Ethiopia, 127 provinces in all. And to every province in its own script, to every people in their own language, and to the Jews in their own script and language. And he wrote in the name of King Ahasuerus, sealed it with the king's signet ring. And then sent letters by couriers and horseback riding and royal horses and bread and swift steeds. And by the letters the king permitted the Jews who were in every city to gather together and protect their lives, to destroy and kill and to annihilate all forces of any people of the province that would assault them. Can you imagine that? The king is saying, now Jews, go ahead. I'm giving you permission to kill the infidels. Get rid of them. Anybody that comes against you, you have the right to protect yourself. Here, God again, protecting and turning the tables around. Both little children and women and plunder their possessions. On one day, in all the providence of King Ahasuerus, on the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, a copy of the document was to be issued as a decree in every providence and published for all people, so that the Jews would be ready on that day to avenge themselves on their enemies, so the tables not turn around. And the couriers who rode on royal horses went out and hastened and pressed on the king's command, and the decree was issued at Shushan, remember the winter palace. And so Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal dress of blue and white, with a great crown of gold and a garment of fine linen and purple, and the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. And then the Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. Isn't that beautiful? How God just turns around the darkness and brings the light and turns into sorrow into gladness and joy. That's what God can do when we trust Him, because He loves us so much. And here we see the handprint of God in the book of Esther. And then he says, and then in every province and city, wherever the king's command and decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast on a holiday. Then many of the people of the land became Jews because the fear of the Jews fell upon them. Hey, we might as well join them. If you don't want to be killed, you got to get circumcised to become a Jew. But yet here we see the hand of God once again, chapter 9, verse 1. And now in the 12th month, that is the month of Adar, on the 13th day, the time came for the king's command and his decree to be executed. On that day that the enemies of the Jews had hoped to overpower them, the opposite happened, in that the Jews themselves overpowered those who hated them. Wow. Can you imagine that? God turned the tables around and their enemies began to be slaughtered by the Jews. And the Jews gathered together in their city throughout all the providence of the king Ahasuerus to lay hands on those who sought their arm. So right in Persia, they went from house to house searching for those that hated the Jews and brought them all out. And no one could withstand them, because the fear of them fell upon all the people and all the officials of the province and satraps and governors and all those doing the king's work helped the Jews, because the fear of Mordecai fell upon them. He had now become the prime minister of Persia. He was just a nobody before. Now he's the prime minister. I mean, I love the story because it's for the underdog, for those that are not promoting themselves, those that are just doing what God calls them to do, and they wait upon the Lord for God to promote them and to raise them up into that position that God has called us to be in. Never seeking for the glory, but giving the glory to Him. For He deserves all the glory and the honor for what He's done. If today you find yourself very successful in your job, give him the glory. Give him the glory for blessing you, for putting you there. And if you're not there yet, God is dealing with your life. God is working in your life. Maybe you'll never get to be a big honcho, but where God has you, you need to be content and not jealous and not covetous in any way, and be content in where God placed you and give him all the glory and honor because he's with you. And he'll bless you right where you are because it's the hand of the Lord.
This is Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. For Bible-based resources to help deepen and grow you in your faith, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call us at 800-634-9165. You can also email Raul directly with your Bible questions and personal prayer requests. The address is PastorRaul@SomebodyLovesYou.com. Let's continue now with more of today's study from Esther chapters 7 through 10.
And then he said this in verse 5, "And thus the Jews defeated all their enemies with the stroke of the sword, the slaughter of destruction, and did what they pleased with those who hated them." In verse 6, he says, "And in Shushan, in the winter palace, the Jews killed and destroyed 500 men. Also, Parashada and all these names, I'm not going to mention them. They're all Persian. You can do it. Verse 10. "And the 10 sons of Haman, the sons of Hammedatha, the enemy of Jews, they killed, but they did not lay a hand on the plunder." They didn't touch the spoil. Why? Remember who Haman was? The flesh. Remember? The Agagite. He was a descendant of the Amalekites. Remember what happened with Saul? Saul was ordered by God through the prophet Samuel to go and kill the Amalekites. Women, children, flocks of sheep and lambs and goats. And when Saul came up to kill the Amalekites, Saul saw the spoils and saw the king Agag, and he put them to the side. He took the women and the children, separated them, and then he killed the rest of the people. And so as he was coming back with the spoil, the lambs and the goats, and the gold, the silver, and all the women, and all the children, he thought, "Hey, I've done a great job." And the prophet Samuel comes up and says, King Saul said, "Hey, how you doing, Samuel?" And Samuel said, "Hey, what's that I hear? The bleeding of the sheep." "Saul, shut up. What did you do? How come you didn't listen to God?" And then he began to excuse himself in chapter 15 of 1 Samuel. He began to make excuses, and the first thing he said, the reason you hear the bleeding of the sheep and the lambs and you see all these people is because we have bought the best to give to the Lord. And then the prophet became really mad. And then he made another excuse, and he said, "It wasn't really me, it was the people." He blames it on the people instead of taking full responsibility. And God told him through the prophet Samuel, he says, "Saul, because you have disobeyed the voice of the Lord," I want to read it to you. This is pretty impressive. In chapter 15 of 1 Samuel, this is what he says. In verse 22 and 23, he says, "And Samuel said, 'Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offering and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king.'" Saul, you're done. Did you hear what he said there? This is the problem with people. People think, "Well, I go to church, I give my tithe, I read the Bible, and all that is nothing if there's no obedience in your life. Nothing. Don't count. You're wasting your time." Saul's rejected. The Spirit of God leaves him. A demon comes and possesses his life. No more God. God's no longer speaking to Saul. In the 28th chapter of the book of 1 Samuel, because God no longer speaking, the actual Philistines are going to fight against Israel. And King Saul wants advice, but God's not telling him anything anymore. So what does he do? He lowers himself to the lowest place of hell. And he goes to a witch for counsel. And he disguises himself as another person. And when he comes to the witch of Endor, he says, "Hey, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to have a seance, and I want you to call up for me Samuel." Samuel had died. And as he sat down and she started going through her little seance, all of a sudden she was shocked. She says, "I see a spirit, and I see one that looks like Samuel." And Samuel came up from the dead. That's the only place in the whole Bible where God allows someone to come back. And Samuel said this. This is the only place God allows him only to do what? To bring judgment upon Saul. And Samuel said this: "Tomorrow, you and your children will be killed in the battle, and you'll come down to me." Judgment. Pretty heavy. So important to understand what God's word says, so that we can learn and be what God says us to be. Haman didn't listen. He was a type of the flesh. He wanted to destroy the people of God. And that's what the flesh is always trying to do with Satan. Try to destroy the people of God. Kill them. That's his ultimate goal for Satan. To kill every Christian. So we see here now, as they killed his 10 children. Verse 11. "And on that day, the number of those who were killed in Shushan, in the actual palace, was brought to the king. And the king said to Queen Esther, 'The Jews have killed and destroyed 500 men in Shushan and the winter palace and 10 sons of Haman. What have they done in the rest of the king's province?'" Another thing I forgot, sorry. If King Saul would have killed the Amalekites as God had said, there would have been no Haman and no 10 sons. See? May God help us for the next generations to come to get rid of the flesh so that they can learn. "It shall be granted to you, or what is your furthest request, it shall be done." And then Esther said, "If it pleases the king, let it be granted to the Jews who are in Shushan to do again tomorrow according to today's decree, and let Haman's 10 sons be hanged in the gallows." Same place, they're going to hang them. "And so the king commanded this to be done. The decree was issued at Shushan, and they hanged Haman's 10 sons. And the Jews who were in Shushan gathered together again." Notice that. "On the 14th day of the month from Adar, and killed 300 men at Shushan, but they did not lay hands on the plunder." They did not touch the plunder. No leaven in the camp. They kept it clean. Notice that. "Again, a total of 810 men have been killed outside Shushan." Now notice verse 16. "The remainder of the Jews in the king's province gathered together and protected their lives, had rest from their enemies, and killed 75,000 of their enemies, but they did not lay hands on the plunder." Notice that. They stayed away from the leaven. We're not going to touch it. No way. It belongs to the world. Notice again, verse 17. "And this was on the 13th day, March 13 and 14 of the month of Adar. And on the 14th day of the month, they rested and made a day of feasting and gladness. But the Jews who were at Shushan assembled together on the 13th day, as well as on the 14th day. On the 15th of the month, they rested and made it a day of feasting and gladness." So again, the Jews today still keep this Feast of Pur. The Feast of Pur is like our Halloween. They dress up as Haman, the evil guy, and the other women dress up as Esther. That's how they celebrate among the Jews, even today, to remind them of the deception. Verse 19. "And therefore the Jews of the villages who dwelt in the unwalled towns celebrated 14 days of the month of Adar with gladness and feasting, as a holiday and for sending presents to one another. And Mordecai wrote these things and sent letters to all the Jews near and far who were in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus to establish among them that they should celebrate yearly on the 14th and 15th days of the month of Adar as the days of which the Jews had rested from their enemies, as the month which was turned from sorrow to joy for them and from mourning to a holiday, that they should make their days of feasting and joy, of sending presents to one another and gifts to the poor. And so the Jews accepted the custom which they had begun, as Mordecai had written to them. Because Haman, the son of Hadarmada, the Agagite, the enemy of all Jews, had plotted against the Jews to annihilate them and had cast pur, or the casting lots of their gods, that is, the lot, to consume them and to destroy them. But when Esther came before the king, he commanded by letter that this wicked plot from which Haman had devised against the Jews would return to his own head, and that he and his son should be hanged on the gallows. And so they call these days Purim. Purim, in Hebrew it means lots, pur in Persian. Therefore, because of all the words of this letter, what they had seen concerning this matter and what happened to them, and the Jews established and imposed upon themselves and their descendants all who would join them, that without fail they should celebrate these 2 days every year according to be written in instruction, according to this prescribed time. That these days should be remembered and keep thoroughly every generation, every family, every province, every city, and these days of Purim should not fail to be observed among the Jews, and that the memory of them should not perish among their descendants. And then Queen Esther, the daughter of Abihaili, with Mordecai the Jew, wrote with full authority to confirm the second letter about Purim. And Mordecai sent letters to all the Jews to 127 provinces in the kingdom of Ahasuerus with words of peace and truth, and to confirm these days of Purim and the appointed time as Mordecai the Jew and Queen Esther had prescribed for them, as they had a decree for themselves and their descendants concerning matters of their fasting and lamenting. And so the decree of Esther confirmed these matters of Purim, and it was written in a book.
We hope you've been encouraged by the account of God's mighty work on behalf of Esther, Mordecai, and the entire nation of Israel. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. Today's lesson is taken from Esther chapters 7 through 10. If you'd like to get a complete copy, just send a gift of $5 or more when you call 800-634-9165. Now, as you think about the Lord's sovereign faithfulness in the middle of life's challenges, we'd like to offer you Raul's empowering book titled Victory, Overcoming Our Enemies. Drawing from his military experience as a Vietnam veteran, Raul will guide you to stand strong on the spiritual battlefield if you feel yourself coming under attack. You'll see that when you're confronted with trials or temptations, you can trust in the authority of Jesus' name and the strength of the Holy Spirit. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 to order Raul's book titled Victory, Overcoming Our Enemies. We'll send your copy for $14 plus shipping and handling. That's 800-634-9165. Our mailing address, if you'd like to order by writing us, is Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. Never before has it been so easy to get Raul's teaching to take with you. Whether you're a daily commuter or you're in the home environment, the Somebody Loves You Radio podcast is a great way to listen to these teaching programs on your schedule. It's also a convenient way to hear a particular series from beginning to end. Check out our podcast when you visit Spotify or iTunes and start listening today. Thanks for your partnership. Every tax-deductible gift equips us to keep sharing the Bible's wisdom and truth. Next time on Somebody Loves You Radio, we'll begin a new Mother's Day series. Zeroing in on the positive influence of God-honoring women in the home, we'll begin with a look at the inspiring faith of a mother named Hannah. Now, with a closing comment, here's Raul.
And then chapter 10 finishes it off, three verses, notice. And then King Ahasuerus imposed tribute in the land and all the islands of the sea. And now all the acts of his power and his might and the account of greatness of Mordecai to which the king advanced him, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles? And the kings of Media and Persia, they're lost. We don't have those books. Verse 3, for Mordecai, the Jew was second to the king Ahasuerus, prime minister, and was great among the Jews, as well received by the multitude of his brethren, seeking the good of his people and speaking peace to all his countrymen. Notice how beautiful that is. How he did not enrich himself when he got promoted, but he was humble. He helped the poor. Notice that. A man who cannot govern himself will never govern other men. So important to understand. And remember the providence of God. If God is for us, then who can be against us? I am falling
in love with you. This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.